Hola, hola, my name is Ricardo. I am the host of the Lucha Jobbers podcast here in the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. We are a Spanish-speaking show dedicated to discussing and analyzing pro wrestling from all across the world. From AEW to CMLL, we talk about American wrestling, Japanese wrestling, and of course, Lucha Libre. If something big happened in the pro wrestling world, we will talk about it. So if you know Spanish or have a friend that knows Spanish or want to practice your Lucha Libre pronunciations, go listen to the Lucha Jobbers podcast right here in the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. Nos vemos por ahí.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
And welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I am joined, as always, by my good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, in the immortal words of the Budweiser Frogs, what's up?
The Frogs said that?
Yeah, wasn't didn't it the Frogs? Frogs?
Didn't the Frogs just go, Budweiser?
No, I think they also said, who said what's up then?
I think that was just like everybody. Like they just had who, like you're thinking of Bubba Ray and Devon Dudley.
No, I'm not thinking of Bubba. I'm not confusing Bubba Ray and Devon Dudley with Frogs.
I mean, it's an easy mistake.
All right. Now I'm looking up Budweiser Frogs. What's up?
Because I don't remember the Frogs going, what's up?
Maybe it wasn't the Frogs. Oh, God.
Yeah, I think they just had anyone doing WhatsApp.
Hold on. I'm watching the commercial.
Because the
on
Frogs
global
were just
news.ca. Keep watching.
Bud. I think Budweiser's going to hit us with that sponsorship deal soon now.
Yeah, I guess they did just say Budweiser, but didn't they say what's up?
They might have done it like once in like a Super Bowl commercial, but yeah, I don't think they were like famous for that.
Do the Frogs ever in the commercial? I guess I'm wrong. What a way to start the episode with incorrect information. Well, Kelly, in the immortal words of the Budweiser Frogs, Budweiser, but also what's up?
Do you think our like international listeners are just so confused by what just happened? Like, do you think they had the Budweiser Frog commercials? Do you actually, does anyone, like, what's the age cutoff that we know who the Budweiser Frogs are?
Oh, the age cutoff? That's an interesting question.
Yeah, because I just thought of that. Like, do people under 25 know who they are?
I'm not sure that people under the age of, like, 28 know who they are.
Yeah, maybe not. Because, yeah, I was pretty young when
I was
they were
also
doing
fairly
those commercials.
Young when those came out. So, if you know, if you are A, very young, or B, live in a non-American country, tweet at us and tell us if you know either the Budweiser Frogs or what's up. Because I think, now that I'm thinking about it, I think the Budweiser Frogs came before.
Yes, they did, 100%.
So if you know either of those,
I feel like
references,
most people listening to this show would know what's up from the Dudley Boys.
Yeah, but they don't even really say what's up. They just sort of go like, oh.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I know
that might be if you know what they're doing, you know what they're doing. But if not, they're just like,
I think that is what it's supposed to be. But I feel like it hasn't really been that for many years. I
yeah,
mean,
that's
now they
true.
Don't wrestle, but or they don't wrestle together, I should say. But anyway, we're here to talk about Joshi Pro Wrestling. What are we going to talk about? We're going to talk some Stardom, some Triangle Derby Championship. We're going to talk a little bit of Stardom and Showcase Volume 4. And we are going to be previewing the humongous giant show, Tokyo Joshi Pro's Grand Princess 23, coming up in less than 2 weeks from now. Before we do that, have to do the plugs as always. Follow us on Twitter at JBombAudio. You can follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly, and you can follow me at Tame Aimbo. Subscribe to this podcast on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice happens to be Apple Podcasts, we'd really appreciate a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. So let's get into it. The big show of this show is Stardom's Triangle Derby Championship Battle from March 4th from the Yoyogi National Gymnasium No. 2 in front of 1,919 fans. 1,919 fans. Kelly, what were your thoughts on this show overall?
Overall, I really liked this show. The first half was, I don't know, it's what you expect kind of a first half of a show like this to be. It matches that kind of are just like in and out and don't overstay their welcome, but they're fine. But I thought the back half of this show really delivered.
I thought it was an excellent show. I wasn't very hopeful. Watching the first few matches on the card, but it really turned up near the end. And was very good. I was also, as we'll talk about in a little bit, I watched both this show and Stardom and Showcase on the same day. And Stardom and Showcase sort of put me in a mood where I was not optimistic. I'll say that. But they turned it out on this show. A lot of very good matches. The first two matches on the show, Kelly, I don't believe you saw. I did not see.
Yeah, I forgot. I was going to go and watch these, and I totally forgot. And it bums me out, because I actually wanted to see the Queen's Quest versus Rebel Enemy match.
Two pre-show matches. The first, a pre-show three-way match, Rina defeating Hina and Miyu Amasaki in 5 minutes and 53 seconds, and a pre-show tag team match, the Queen's Quest team of Lady C and Utami defeating the Rebel and Enemy team of Maika Ozaki and Ram Kaichou in 7 minutes and 25 seconds. But the first match on the show proper, a 6-person tag team match, the team of Donna Del Mundo, Maika, Mai Sakurai, and Tekla, defeating the Club Venus unit of Mariah May, Mina Shirakawa, and Waka Tsukiyama in 10 minutes and 20 seconds. Kelly, your thoughts on the opening match of the show?
No surprise that Waka took the fall, as you know, that's what she's there for. I enjoy that somehow Waka keeps finding herself in units that have a dance, and she is just not equipped for that. But I did like that they did the dance and then she came out. So she didn't have to stand there and clap awkwardly like she used to do with Cosmic Angels. So that was good for her. I'm happy for her on that they kind of figured out they could do that. Also, shouts out to Mai Sakurai for doing a new finisher instead of the elbow drop, which can't be doing that with Kairi around. Just makes you look bad. But overall, solid enough match. I went 3 stars. It was good.
Although Mai Sakurai pulling a Sayakamatani with a jumping leg drop that finished right on the top of Waka's head.
Yeah.
It was like a leap, and sort of as it was happening, I was like, ooh! And then she landed on her head, and I was like, okay.
It needs some work.
Needs some work there. But I believe everyone came out of it okay. I thought it was fairly standard stuff. So other than that, didn't have too much to say. Mariah May, I think we've talked about before, very solid. I enjoy watching her.
She keeps getting better.
So excited, you know, someone I knew nothing about when she showed up and, you know, showed up with Xia Brookside, who I do know. And Xia Brookside has disappeared and Mariah May has been very good. So good for her.
All works out.
The next match was a 10-person tag team match. The Oedo Tai unit of Fukigen Death, Momo Watanabe, Natsuko Tora, Ruaka, and Saki Kashima defeating the Stars fivesome of Hanan, Koguma, Mayu Iwatani, Momo Kogo, and Saya Iida in 8 minutes and 20 seconds. Another match that I had almost no notes on. I thought it was a perfectly fine match. 10 people in 8 minutes means you don't get very much time for yourself.
Yeah, I was very excited to see a Fukigen Death victory. That was not something I was expecting to see on this show, so I'm happy to see that. A fun match. Another 3 stars.
The next match was the first semifinal in the Triangle Derby semifinal round between the God's Eye Team, Amisore, Mirai, and Tsuri, defeating the Cosmic Angels trio of Natsupoi, Tom Nakano, and Saki in 11 minutes and 30 seconds. My one big note about this match is that Tsuri came off to me still like a star, and I think that her descent, of course, it's only been a few months since Tsuri lost the title, but I think her descent from the title has been much better than Utami's. She still really comes off to me as a very big deal. She looks really good in the ring. She feels like a star. It feels like sometimes Utami just sort of disappears into random matches. And it feels like Tsuri, even though she doesn't have the title, is still a very big deal here. Now, of course, there are different circumstances. Tsuri's very old, so you can't really, not very, I don't mean to say very old, but she's older than
old lady
Utami.
Tsuri.
Sorry.
You heard it here, folks.
She's older than Utami.
Grandma's got her walker.
You don't have the luxury of sort of being like, ah, we'll get back to her. I mean, she's not retiring tomorrow. I mean, I don't know.
She's turning to dust. We get it, too.
But I just think it's been much better handled. She feels like a big deal, whereas Utami has sort of felt like she has disappeared into the muck of the Stardom midcard.
Yeah, Utami very much suddenly just, she'll be on the losing side of a prelim tag match, and you're just like, oh, okay, that's where she is now. And then they'll be like, all right, we need a title challenger. Go out there and we'll heat you up for like a couple weeks, and then back down you go.
Very much
I totally agree with you on that. Yeah. Yeah, overall, I thought this match was good. The Tsuri and Natsupoi segment to close out the match I thought was very, very good.
The next match was the other semifinal in the Triangle Derby semifinals. The Prominence Trio, Haragi Karumi, Risa Sera, and Suzu Suzuki, defeating the Neo Stardom Army, the unit of Nanai Takahashi, Yuna Mizumori, and Yu in 10 minutes and 36 seconds. I thought that this match was a blast. I almost went 3 3/4, but I ended up at 3.5. I thought this was one of the better Prominence matches, especially the Prominence matches that are not hardcore matches. I thought they all looked really good as a unit, as opposed to it feeling like Suzu and her two friends. Even with that said, I thought the highlight of the match was the Suzu and Yuna Mizumori segment, or segments, I should say. And I just thought it was really well-paced, well-done, and a match that I really liked.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. What's up with the hats?
Oh my God, Kelly! My first note under this match, and I was going to bring it up, is Have we talked about the hats?
No, we haven't. What's up with those? Why are they the Blues Brothers?
I don't get it. Blues Brothers. I think it's a weird, like, it feels to me like a weird, like your parents, you're on vacation with your parents and they're like, oh, I forgot my hat. Oh, I'm really going to need a hat or else my face is going to get really sunburned. And you go to like some random store and that's the only type of hat they sell. And you're like, I don't want to waste my time like driving around looking for a hat. I'll just buy this hat. Like first one you see, you buy it, you put it on and you're like, oh, it's good enough for the next few days while we're here. But it's just weird. It's like, what is it? Is there like
and they have the vests too.
Yeah.
Like there's gotta be some kind of cultural thing we're missing. Like it's gotta be like a reference to some show or something that just doesn't translate to us. Cause it's like, what are you guys doing? What's with this hat gimmick?
Wow. We really are co-hosts after we had the same note on the same exact match.
I wonder if it's like, cause the tag name, cause Yuna doesn't wear a hat. It's just you and Nanae. So, and their team name is 7-Up. So I wonder if there's something hat related there. Dude, people in Japan that enjoy the soda 7-Up all wear a specific hat to their club meetings or something.
I have no idea, but the minute they started wearing them, I was like, what is with these hats?
Yeah.
It's very strange. Speaking of fashion of this match, the change to Yuna Mizumori's gear, I think very boring.
Yeah.
Just sort of like green. Like I like that she was like many colors because it feels like a lot of people in Stardom are like, my one color is red. My one color is blue. And now it's like, oh, Yuna, her one color is green. Where I'm like, that's less interesting for me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I never really put that together. But yeah, there's a lot of people who it's just like, I am red. I am blue. And now Yuna's, I am green.
I am white. I am pink.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Oh, well.
Well, if you know about the hats, let us know about the hats.
Give us the hat lore.
Yeah. Tell us about these hats because we're both very confused about these hats. What we're not confused about is this being a very good match.
Yeah.
The next match was our first singles match of the evening. Returning again, the Ryu Mizunami of Stardom, Chihiro Hashimoto defeating the soon-to-be-retiring Himika in 8 minutes and 52 seconds. Kelly, what did you think about another one of these Chihiro Hashimoto singles matches?
This was a match I liked, but also bummed me out because, A, I wish there was more to this match. I really enjoyed it, and I thought it ended a little too soon. And B, it really fucking sucks that Himika's retiring. Like, she's got so much more to offer in Joshi, and I hope it's more of just, like, I want to get out before my body's broken than, well, it doesn't seem like they're doing anything with me, so I might as well call it quits. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's like, overall, I enjoyed the match, but it kind of just made me sad at the same time. So, like, I don't know. Love a good match with big, meaty women bumping meat. 3.5 stars.
I was enjoying it, and it felt like a match where I was like, okay, we're getting into it. Like, we're building up. You know, we're going to have some fun things here. And then it just sort of ended. And I was what? I literally wrote 2 notes about the match in my notes, and both of them are, wow, it was short. I was enjoying it, but why was it so short?
Yeah, very strange.
It was just, I don't know. It's like, I guess, I don't know. I guess you're like, well, Himika's retiring, and so it doesn't matter if she loses, and we need time for other things. But I don't know. It just felt very strange to me that I was like, oh, okay. It's just sort of going to end. And Himeka just sort of loses.
On the main card, it's the only one of two matches that went under 10 minutes. It was that and the 5-person and the 10-person tag. Like, you could cut time from another match somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know if they were like, well, we need time for all the other four matches we have, but I'm like, if it had been another 4 minutes...
would that have made a difference yeah, to I'm anything?
Not, doesn't feel like that's the end of the world on this show.
No.
But, yeah, just sort of disappointing. I thought it was good. I don't know if I'd go 3.5 just because I was like, oh, so short, but, you know, 3.25. Three.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
After the match, Shuri coming out to challenge. That should be a fun match.
Yeah, that should be cool.
And again, sort of proves my further point of Shuri getting something to do. Although I'm sure if Chihiro sticks around, I'm sure she'll have a lot of these matches. So it's possible many people could get this chance. The next match was our first of 4 title matches, the Wonder of Stardom title. Jumping Bomb Audio favorite Saya Kamatani retaining the Wonder of Stardom title, defeating Hazuki in 22 minutes and 48 seconds. I think now of the many, many Wonder of Stardom title matches that Saya Kamatani has, this is at least in my top 3, if not my top 2.
This, I think, is... I loved it. I thought it was great.
My number 1 note was, wow, a good, properly paced Saya match.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of which I am giving large credit to Hazuki.
Well, yeah.
For, like, properly... it felt like it built from something. Things were happening. So much of Saya is like, the match starts. We go to the outside. I do 10 of the craziest moves you've ever seen. And then we come back in the ring and we keep doing that. And that didn't happen in this match. And I was like, very happy about that.
Yeah, we didn't see many of her bad habits pop up here. Like, I noted the outside of the one dive to the outside, they kept the entire match in the ring.
Yes. Yeah, and I noted that as well. I also thought it was going to go shorter. I don't know if I was fooled by the previous match, but they started sort of doing near falls, and I was like, oh, it's going to end, you know, this match, you know, I think this match is pretty good, you know, solid, nothing crazy. And then they kept going, and it got really good. And I was like, wow, this is very well put together. My one note will be, you know, the Saya critique of the week is Hazuki is excellent at the like 2.9 kickouts. Saya is not. Like, almost all of Saya's kickouts come at like 2.4.
Yeah.
Where it's not like, oh, the hand is coming down, it's so close, and there's a kick out. It's like 1, 2, kick out. And you're like, oh, okay, wasn't that close. And I also bought that Hazuki could win, which was very helpful to these matches where I feel like a lot of them, I'm like, oh, Saya is obviously winning.
Yeah, no, I thought Hazuki really had a chance here. Especially after Saya broke the record, I thought, like, okay, maybe that's her time. She can lose the belt now. She broke the record. But, you know what? She won, and a well-deserved victory. It was a great match. The only complaint I could have is that at some point it felt like they were doing a little too much. But, like, I don't know. They both sold, like, they bumped like maniacs, and they sold well, so I was fine with it. Good match. I hope we get more of stuff like this out of Saya.
I went 4.25 stars. What did you?
Me too.
Oh, look at that. Mind meld.
Yep.
From the two hosts here. Afterwards, Mina Shirakawa came out, so we will soon be getting Saya versus Mina.
I think Mina beats her.
I mean, at this point, she has to, right? She's like running out of people.
And it's avenging her face. So like I think it makes sense for her to win.
And it feels like with all of this Cosmic Angels brouhaha, that would be a good moment for Mina to win and be like, now we're a different thing.
Yeah. Me and my women are successful on our own.
That's right. And Waka, you can come with us.
Waka, we won't make you stand there while we dance. You can wait in the back. It's okay.
But we'll talk about that when we talk about Stardom in Showcase in a minute. The next match, another title match, a rematch of one of the most acclaimed Stardom matches of 2022. The champion, Azumi, once again successfully defending her high-speed title, defeating Starlight Kid in 17 minutes and 5 seconds. Kelly, did you think this match was better, worse, or the same than their first encounter last year?
I think a little bit worse. I think their first one I went 4 3/4. This one I went 4.5. So it's not like a huge gulf in terms of quality, but I think the first one was better. But this still rocked. They did it again. Two of the best in the world go out there and have a killer match. So it's like, you know what? I'm happy with it either way. What did you think? Better or worse?
Kelly, mind meld. I went 4.5 stars. So it sort of started. I was like, wow, the last one was so good. I'm really hyped for this. It's going to be so good. And they were going and I was like, okay, this is solid, but it's nowhere close to the first one. Like I was like, the first one was so good. So, so good. And then like, as it went on, I was like, oh, I don't know. This is very good. I was like, I'm really enjoying this. It's, you know, going very well. I liked all the mat stuff that they did. I thought the one thing where they were up on the top to do the Spanish fly and Azumi just sort of pushed Starlight Kid off and she did the Spanish fly without Azumi looked crazy because she went very close to the ropes. But overall, I felt like this one was a little bit more grounded than the first one. Like the first one to me, and that isn't a complaint of the match, but the first one felt very much like people were like, oh my God, they're out here doing, you know, Canadian destroyers. They're jumping off of things. And of course they did both of those things in this one, but there was something to me about it that felt more sort of closer to the mat. They were doing all those pin combinations, submissions, things like that.
And
I don't know if
they slowed it down and grabbed a hold.
Yeah. But I don't know if it's because I haven't watched the first match in a while, and so my memories are of sort of the high spots, or if that is the case. But it just felt sort of more like a submission mat match to me than the first one did, which I enjoyed. Not a complaint. It was just as I was sort of thinking about, you can't really help but think about the two matches together. That was sort of the biggest difference that popped out to me. But I, again, thought it was excellent. I went 4.5 stars. Just an excellent match.
It felt
match.
Like they wanted excellent. To do something different, which, awesome, you know? I appreciate that kind of experimentation. Like, they have a formula, and they could have gone out there and done the exact same match they did last time, and everyone would have been fine with it. But, you know, they wanted to do something different. So that's, I give them a ton of credit for it. And it paid off. It was a great match. What did you think of the post-match? Because to me, it felt almost like Starlight Kid graduating from the high-speed title scene.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't think about it that way. I mean, my one thought...
Just the way she kind of like bowed to the title and Azumi, and kind of just rested her hand on the title and then walked off, made me feel like she's moving on to go to, I don't know if it's just go after the Saya's belt or who knows? But I think it feels like she's done with High Speed to me.
I wasn't even really thinking about it that way watching the post-match. I was more focused on the idea of the pinky shake or the pinky promise, whatever they did.
Yeah.
And like thinking like, man, when Starlight Kid turns back to a babyface, it's going to be, I'm like, this is going to be on. It's going to be so good. Which I think they should not do until they are going to like rocket pack her up to the top.
Oh, for sure.
To me, because that's going to be a huge deal. I mean, she's so talented. She has people behind her. She has matches like this. So to me, I sort of looked at it more in that way of like, they're showing these hints. She's not doing it, but you know, she sort of did that with Azumi. It was sort of like, yes, we respect each other. We, you know, have these great matches. Thank you. So that was sort of more where my mind was.
Okay.
I guess I would say, I mean, for now, until Azumi loses the title, which I'm assuming will happen at some point soon because she's up to V10, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing she could not lose here because of the Mercedes match coming up.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like she's sort of like Saya, where, especially in the high speed division where there aren't that many people.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, who beats her for this title? You don't really know. And then, of course, once she loses a title, sort of what does she do? She feels to me, not in my personal opinion, but just sort of watching it, it's like, well, you'd like her to lose it and move on to bigger and better things, but it feels like the company might not move her on to bigger and better things.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like, oh, you're having great matches. Everyone's enjoying them. Oh, and now you lost it, and now you can go back and, you know what I mean? It's sort of like,
hope you like that's Rina and Hina three ways.
So I guess that's my nervousness there, where they would be like, okay, you had that. Great. I think I would like to see, not that I want to see Azumi lose the title, but, you know, Saya Kamatani now double digit defenses, Azumi now double digit defenses, you know, the future of Stardom, Hanan breaking the single defense record, Siri coming off a full year holding the title. Now Julia is fairly new. It just feels like no one outside of the tag division ever loses their titles.
It's very rare.
Which I guess is fine. I mean, that was the way like Ring of Honor was in the mid-2000s. But it would be nice to have one of these things happen where it's like, I won the title and two defenses later I lose it.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're not sitting here going, well, I know it's only the second defense. I know they're not going to lose it. That never happens.
Yeah, it would be nice to have something like that.
But I don't know. Maybe it could be, I mean, if Mina beats Saya for the Wonder of Stardom title, as you said, maybe in three defenses, maybe Starlight Kid does it and wins the title.
That would be cool.
I don't know. That would be one. But just something to think about, something to ponder. And you can ponder that as we discuss the next match, the semi-main event of the show, the World of Stardom title match, Julia and Maya Yukihi going to a double countout in 17 minutes and 57 seconds. Kelly, I will graciously allow you to go first on this match.
If this match had a definitive finish, I would have easily thrown 5 stars on it, without a doubt. I thought this was incredible. Just the action was so hard-hitting. It was a lucha brawl. Like, they just went all over the place. They beat the shit out of each other. They threw Daichi to the ground so many times. Just, that was the whole theme of the match. The entire theme of the match was, shut the fuck up, Daichi. shut up and get out of our way. That's what this whole match was, and they just beat the shit out of each other, and it was incredible. Like, I went 4.5 stars on it. I keep thinking about going 4.75, but it's like, it didn't have a definitive finish, so I don't know. But fuck, it was so good. I need a rematch with a definitive finish. I need more of this.
My first note is that this match, in my mind, is called a no-chill match, because neither Julia or Maya had any chill in this match. A lot of really good slaps, considering they both have longer hair, and longer hair usually mean the slaps get blocked by the hair, but there was a lot of very loud slaps in this match. I thought it was incredible. I did go 4.75 stars, and I actually liked the finish because I liked the idea of Julia beating up Maya, trying to then be like, well, I'll just roll in the ring and get the count out finish. And Maya being like, no, you will not. Like, if I cannot get in the ring, you're not getting in the ring, and we're going to stay out here. I like that idea. I like the two, the pile driver on the table, which broke perfectly, which I feel like almost never happens anymore, that the table breaks perfectly. And then they went to the other side and did the tiger driver, which looked brutal.
Julia almost died on that spot.
And hitting the table and then the table just going clunk and breaking. But just a great match. So good.
So good.
I feel like a show between this match, the Saya match a little, we talked about, sort of broke out of the usual pattern. This broke out of the usual pattern, which I think is why it was so good. It was like a show where it wasn't just the standard, okay, we have a big Wonder of Stardom title match, it's going to be big moves. Okay, we're having a Wonder of Stardom title match where Saya does her usual stuff. It felt different to me. This match felt different. It didn't feel like many other matches that have happened in Stardom recently. And just thought it was great. I will say this, and this may be very controversial, what I'm about to say.
Okay.
Maya Yukihi, excellent. I have liked her for a very long time. Obviously, many people out there say, you know, Stardom has the best wrestlers, and many wrestlers in Stardom are excellent. So this is not really a critique of them, but Maya is one of, I think, dozens of Joshi wrestlers where if you put them in these spots, they will be this good.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and some of the credit, of course, has to go to Julia. But, you know, when it's like, oh, Stardom has the best wrestlers, they're so much better than any other company, you know, any other Joshi company that's out there. They have many talented wrestlers, you know, Julia, excellent, Azumi and Starlight Kid, Mayu, of course, has been very good for years. But I was very happy to see Maya get this opportunity, very happy to see her go out there and kill it, because I think she's been great for years, and I think there's many people out there with the same opportunities who would also kill it. So I guess to Rossi, bring in more random people for big title matches.
Yeah. You get cool shit. And, you know, it's like you're not burning one of your big matches then. It's like you don't have to do, I don't know, Julia versus Mayu or whatever. You can save that for another time and you can use Julia versus this outsider. And it's like, hey, that's a cool match. Like, just do that. I mean, shit, like, you look at this, the semi-main had Maya Yukihi, the main event had Prominence. Like, that's very outsider heavy.
Well, had Prominence and had, there was a Neo Stardom Army in the,
that's true, yeah,
in the second semifinal, and also Chihiro Hashimoto.
Yeah.
So yeah, bring them in. I say the more the merrier.
Yeah.
After the match, Tom Nakano appeared like a spirit on the ramp.
I'm just picturing her rappelling down like NWO Sting.
Julia gave her a long stare, so it seems like we may be reigniting the classic 2021 feud, Julia and Tom Nakano.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club Slab Pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show, and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, ah, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, you know, almost nothing, you know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You get a display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading. So you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, sending these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet, arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver. No drilling required. Keyless entry. No more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio, and then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally, and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They are on standby for you 24/7 so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy video lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived. And really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys, reach in my pocket, or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy video lock. I touch it. 0.3-second fingerprint recognition. 1 second, door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
Coming soon. But
Julia got to get her win back.
Shockingly, and I think foolishly, was not the main event of the show.
Yeah, they kind of fucked up with that. But also, if the World of Stardom title match had been the main event, I don't think we would have gotten the match we did. I don't think they would have done that as the main event. Because, I mean, they'll do the draws and stuff, but I don't think they would have been like, oh, I think people might feel cheated if we do the double count out on the main event, so we got to put that in the semi-main or something.
Well, we'll never know.
Yep. Unless Rossi tells us. Rossi, write us.
The main event was the Triangle Derby final, which also turned into an Artist of Stardom title match. The prominence.
I liked that a lot.
That it just turned into a title match.
Yes, like that's awesome. That's such a good idea. Like, hey, the champions are in here. Because if it wasn't for the title, you automatically assume God's Eye is winning.
Mm-hmm.
And so if with it being a title match, it's like, oh, okay, that changes things a bit now.
The prominence trio of Hiragi Karumi, Risa Sera, and Suzu Suzuki defending their Artist of Stardom titles, defeating the God's Eye trio of Amisore, Mirai, and Suri. I thought this match was good, but I thought it was living in the shadow of a great match.
Yeah, it's hard to follow the previous three matches on the card. And it's like, this was good. I thought it was very good. I went 3¾ on it. But you can't stand up to Julia Yukihi, Azumi Starlight Kid, and Saya Hazuki. Sorry, guys.
But that brings to an end the Triangle Derby just in time for, in a few weeks, the beginning of the Cinderella Tournament. So you tournament heads won't be suffering for too long.
It really felt like the Triangle Derby was going on for like 3 years.
Not that long. What else has been happening in Stardom? Stardom had Volume 4 of their Stardom in Showcase matches, which happened as follows. First of all, I know Kelly wants to talk about it, and I want to talk about it. We all love having a very loud air conditioning unit playing in the background of the entire show.
Oh my god. Like, and it didn't help anything that the crowd for this show fucking sucked. This crowd was horrible. They were essentially a clap crowd with like a handful of people that remembered they could cheer. It was so bad.
Yeah, there were many moments of deafening silence.
Air conditioning.
Except for the air conditioning unit playing.
Though I wonder, it wasn't the air conditioning probably. It was probably the fucking bouncy house thing.
Oh, you're totally right. I didn't even think about that. But would that be that loud? Because it was all the way in
I
the
think
corner.
It might be. Oh, that's true.
And also they've had bouncy houses at all these other shows and I haven't heard it.
Yeah, that is true. Sam, so yeah, maybe it was just really cold that day and the heating unit was cranked up.
Anyway, the first match, Saya Iida defeating Chen Yoda in 5 minutes and 13 seconds. I'm not sure what that 5 minutes and 13 seconds refers to. Maybe the match portion of it. They did arm wrestling.
Because overall, Chan Yoda won the 2 out of 3 falls.
That is true. In arm wrestling, Chan Yoda won. They did an actual wrestling match, which Saeeda won. In the actual wrestling match, I thought Chan Yoda looked the worst she's looked in the number of times I've seen her. She just looked very timid on all of her moves. Like, she had the shoulder blocks in the corner. Like, when you go, like, shoulder, shoulder, shoulder. And I was like, you're not even making contact with Ida.
Yeah.
It was just, like, very strange because I haven't had that issue before. And I was sort of like, what's going on? Then the final round was a pose down in which I thought Saeeda was robbed.
I think so, too.
I think that she has... the way she is built, I think, is more conducive to winning a pose down.
Yeah.
And that she
she's got a lot of good definition.
Yes. And I think she had a little bit more oil on.
Mm-hmm.
To help. I can't believe we're sort of doing this, but
hey, we are pose down fans.
We are pose down fans. We have seen a pose down live.
Yeah. Just hooting and hollering at Hard Hit for the pose down.
But that was the first match. The second match, the classic, the showcase classic Falls Count Anywhere match, Azumi defeating Hanan, Momoko Hanazono, and Natsu Sumire. At the beginning, Rossi slowly running away from Natsu with the attitude of someone who's walked into a party and been like, ugh, I hope nobody kisses me tonight. That would be terrible. I hope no one does that. As he like slowly like walks away. Like, oh, I've got to get out of here. I hope no one follows me.
And then they shoved him in the bouncy house like he's fucking Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, as his glasses fall off. And he's like trying to grab at them. That was really, to me, the highlight of the match.
Yeah, no, your highlight wasn't staring at an empty ring for like a good minute and a half while the referee kind of just like shrugged their shoulders and the announcer apologized for nothing happening.
I wrote my next two notes after the stuff about Rossi was these are becoming diminishing returns is the first thing I wrote. And the second thing I wrote is very low energy at points.
Yeah.
But then we have to talk about the end. I thought Azumi was, as always, the highlight of the match.
The finish was cool.
But Natsu, at the beginning, took the bump in a way that no one could see because the camera was in the wrong place.
Yes, you had no idea what happened. It she looked like she just fell down, yeah. And Hanazono was kind of weirdly concerned. And it's like, oh, all right. And then they showed the replay. It's like, oh, she took a bump through the stage.
So just very strange, just a weird match.
You know what my least favorite part of that match was? It was when Hanan stole Natsu's sex pervert spot. I don't like that. That made me feel icky.
The next match, Cosmic Angels, it was the Captain's Fall match, the Cosmic Angels team of Natsupoi, Tam Nakano, and Saki defeating the Club Venus team of Mariah May, Mina Shirakawa, and Waka Tsukiyama. My note, wow, Waka remains a big loser, but it doesn't really matter because she's going to get another opportunity teaming with Tom against Nanae Takahashi and a partner of her choosing. She's got to win that one, right?
I don't think so. I don't think she ever wins. I think she just takes the fall forever.
Part of me wanted her because Tom was making the whole speech of like, you know, Waka made the speech of saying, oh, I'm doing it for the fans. You know, I'm fighting, I'm giving my all. And then Tom sort of said, oh, that's what I've been looking for from you, the sort of spirit and energy or whatever her words were. And I just wanted Waka to like stand up and be like, fuck you, and like deck her. because I was like, oh, that would be interesting. I mean, she wouldn't do it in that way in Stardom, but just to be like, I don't need you and I don't care about this, and just like knock her out.
Yeah, like I
would have been good.
I don't know. I don't think she wins. I think it's just this is her. This is her station in life.
She's got to win at some point. The next match, the Grim Reaper army of the three Grim Reapers defeated Super Strong Stardom Big Machine, Super Strong Stardom Giant Machine, and Super Strong Stardom Machine in 11 minutes and 56 seconds. And I think my favorite part of the match was me just now having to read all the Super Stardom Machine names. I thought this was very rough. I wrote, it was average wrestling in front of a dead crowd.
This sucked shit. I think it's the worst match I've seen this year so far. Easy. It was quieter than any Stardom show in the clap crowd era. The fans wanted nothing to do with this match, and I don't blame them because I didn't either. Like, just the most basic wrestling match you've ever seen. Everyone, I don't know if it's just they can't see out of the masks and they're kind of tentative about stuff, but just everything was so slow. Please stop this. Rossi, no more. No more Grim Reapers.
Yeah, the Grim Reapers are past their expiration date in Showcase. Move on.
Yeah, this is so bad.
The next match was a hardcore six-person tag team match. The Donna Del Mundo team of Julia, Himika, and Micah went to a no contest with the prominence trio of Haragi, Karumi, Risa, Sarah, and Suzu Suzuki. My note, did this match seriously end in a DQ? And I was very quickly turning against this show.
This fucking company. If you can't have anyone lose the match, don't book the match. Especially if it's a hardcore match. There shouldn't be a no contest in a hardcore match. What the fuck? What are you doing?
In a UWF rules match, Shuri defeated Saki Kashima in 9 minutes and 23 seconds. I wrote, sure.
The longer this went, the less I liked it. This should have been more of a mauling by Shuri. The fact that Shuri lost a point, I think, was way too much for Saki. Shuri should have just destroyed her.
But I think she knocked her out at the end.
Yeah, that was good. But yeah, I think she gave Saki way too much in this match. Like it was one of those where it breaks my suspension of disbelief. Cause we know Siri's a real shooter. Like this is her shit. It's like it doesn't work for me, brother. If Saki wants to get more UWF seasoning, she needs to go where the real shooters play. And go to Gleet for some of that Ledet UWF. That way she can beat everyone that stays that works there.
The main event was a three-way, nine-person tag team elimination match. Hazuki winning from the Stars unit of Hazuki Koguma and Mayu Iwatani, defeating the Oedo Tai unit of Momo Watanabe, Natsukatora, and Starlight Kid, and the Queen's Quest trio of Miyu Amasaki, Saya, and Utami in 13 minutes and 56 seconds. I was, this was whatever, because at this point I was sort of just not into the show.
See, I watched this, so I watched the first bunch of matches when on a Thursday, and then the UWF and the main event hadn't been uploaded to Stardom World yet, so I watched those yesterday. I really liked this main event. I thought it was very good. My big takeaway from it is that for as much as I think Stardom wants to be women's New Japan, they're so much better when they're women's Dragon Gate. Because this was a very Dragon Gate match, and I thought it was super fun. The closing stretch with Hazuki and Saya, awesome. Great prelude to their match later. I went 4 stars on this. I really liked it. The only thing that really kind of not bothered me But, like, why is the Stars team dressed like they're going to paint my garage?
They're taking care of business.
Oh, is that what they're doing? Okay.
I did enjoy the routine at the end with the premium beef.
Yeah, that was good.
Not wanting to eat the beef in the pristine ring of Stardom. And then eating
the
beef.
Piranhas on the outside just killed it.
So that was Stardom in Showcase Volume 4. What else happened in the last 2 weeks in Joshi? In Wave, Galaxy Punch, another tag team, successful tag team title defense against Rina Amakura and Yuki Miyazaki. Kelly, Chaco Pro also had their Let's Go Yokohama show.
They did. It was a very good show on the 23rd. Let's see. You had the Antonio Honda Trios match, which sure was a match. Yoneyama defeated Miyu Yatsuba. That was pretty decent. I'm selling a little bit of my stock in Mia right now. She hasn't improved as much as I would have liked her to by now. And I kind of wish she would play more to her size advantage in matches. But, you know, she's still got a lot of room to grow. So we'll see. CDK defeated Rekka and Gaia Hawks. And I messaged you as I was watching this show. Where is Takanashi finding these indie scummers now? Because I have never heard of this Gaia Hawks guy before. He's not bad, but, like, I don't know. It was all right. I went 3.25 on it. It got better as the match went. It was a fun enough match. In the semi-main, Tay Hanma defeated Chie Koshikawa, which was very good. I liked that Hanma just kind of bossed around Chie in this match and showed off her experience edge. 3.5 stars on that one. And then in the main event, Rina Yamashita and Drew Parker defeated Best Bros. And this was awesome. It was just four of my favorite wrestlers going out there and having a really good main event. The closing stretch, super good. I hope that at some point down the road we see Yamashita and Parker get a shot at the tag titles. And one of my favorite parts was they're celebrating their win afterwards, and then the, like, Gato move end song starts playing, you know, and the people started coming out to sing, and Yamashita and Parker looked so confused. Because why is Trans Am Hiroshi singing? Yeah, that main event was really good. I went 4.25 on it.
There was also a very recent show, GCW Holy Smokes, which, Kelly, I believe you watched.
I sure did. It was yesterday, March 4th. And there was a bunch of Joshi stuff on there. Joey Janela defeated Vaney to defend the GCW Extreme title. This was a tremendous showing for Vaney in front of a crowd that was, like, really into her. I was super excited to see that. This crowd knew who she was and was super into her. Really good chemistry between these two. There was some very good stuff with a door that just fucking refused to break. Like, they took some wild bumps on that table and that board or that door, and it did not break until eventually Joey just kind of had to throw himself through it as hard as he could so they could get onto the spot of whacking each other with the broken pieces. But that was very good. I went 4 stars on it. There was also a Maki Ito versus Lufisto match that was perfectly fine. It was whatever. It was there to be a buffer between the two death matches. Maki was very good coming out and doing the Nick Gage entrance. That was a lot of fun. And then the most notable match on the show, and I think the best match of the show by far, was the ultra-violent title match where Rina Yamashita successfully defended her title against Casey Kirk. This was an incredible death match. They are both insane. So they went out there and took some real wild bumps and beat the shit out of each other and bled a whole lot, and it was awesome. I went 4.5 on that one. Like, I loved it. It's right up there with Julia versus Maya as, like, match of the weekend at this point for me.
So that is everything that happened in the last 2 weeks. What is coming up? Stardom has a Korakuen Hall show on March 10th. Himika against Natsupoi as part of Himika's retirement road. Himika will be having a lot of different matches on upcoming Stardom shows. Miyu Amasaki, Rina, and Hina will have a three-way match to determine the future of Stardom number one contender. as just above that, Amisore will defend the Future of Stardom title against Lady C. And main eventing that show, a Kelly special, Nanai Takahashi and Yu will defend their tag titles against the Oedo Tai duo of Natsuka Tora and Ruaka.
Nope, not watching it. Not doing it.
Also coming up, Oz Academy has a show on March 12th. Hikaru Shida is announced to be there in a six-person tag match. Now, it has been, or she announced, that she has a finger injury. But I'm not sure if she has been removed from any of these shows, which we'll talk about. She will be in Japan. But I'm not sure if that finger injury will take her out of any of these matches, but we shall see. Main eventing that Oz show will be Chihiro Hashimoto and Yu defending their tag titles against Sona Kokado and Ryo Mizunami. Tokyo Joshi Pro has a big 2 weeks coming up. By the time this comes out, this show may have already happened, but the night before Grand Princess 23 on March 6th, some big matches here, including Toga, will make her debut going up in a singles match against Miyu Yamashita, and Shino Suzuki will make her debut, the newest member of the Up Up Girls, in an all Up Up Girls Explode match. Miyu Watanabe and Hikari Noah will take on Raku and Shino Suzuki. That will be the final Tokyo Joshi show before Tokyo Joshi's biggest show, Grand Princess 23, on March 18th. We're going to run down this whole thing. First match, a Daisy Monkey Explodes match. Suzume will take on her frequent partner, Arisa Endo. Kelly, who do you think wins in the battle?
It's probably Suzume, right?
I would think,
that
but Endo
very good.
Endo on the rise.
And it's true.
You never know.
Yeah.
The next match is the Haru and Momo debut match. Mihiro Kiryu, Wakana Uehara, Himiwari, and Shino Suzuki will take on Kaya Torabami, Toga, Haru, and Momo. It's not many matches that you can say Mihiro Kiryu, the grizzled veteran.
This match could be a disaster. That is too many young wrestlers in a match like this. I don't know. I don't know about this one, guys.
If you take out, well, actually, this is an interesting. I should have looked this up before we got on the air. But how many matches combined? Kiryu has had how many matches in her career? Kiryu has had 220 matches.
Okay.
Kaya Torabami is
she's still got to be under 100, probably.
Kaya Torabami has had 91. So we're at 311. So combined between these eight people, they will have less than 315 matches under their belt.
Jesus.
So it could be a variant, but who knows? Maybe Toga comes out and Shino Suzuki comes out on the sixth and they're incredible.
Yeah.
It's happened.
Yeah.
The debuts have been very good, but not a lot of guidance here.
It seems like a lot of moving parts and you don't have the ring general in there.
The next match, a six-person tag match with a lot more experience. Hikari Noah, Nao Kakuda, and Ram Kaichou, the returning Ram Kaichou, will take on Yuki Aino, Raku, and Palm Harajuku. Wish for myself, very selfishly, that Palm was in a little bit more of a prominent spot, but this feels a little bit like the get people on the card match, which Raku and Yuki and Palm are often a part of.
Mm-hmm. But hey, it's cool to see a free Wi-Fi team with Rom.
Ryo Mizunami, the Chihiro Hashimoto of Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling, returns to take on. And this is big. And when it was announced, I thought, wow, this is good synergy with Jumping Bomb Audio. Ryo Mizunami returns to take on Moka Miyamoto. Kelly, this is the chance for Moka to prove your hot take.
Yep. This is the test. I hope she does it. I hope she proves that she is the better of the two in-ring workers between her and Yuki Arai.
Ryo has had many, many good matches in Tokyo Joshi on these big shows, and hopefully this is another one of those.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
The next match, I think, will be the classic Hyper Masao comedy match. I don't know why I say I think, because after I list the participants, I don't know that it would be a serious mat classic. But the regular tag team of Shoko Nakajima and Hyper Masao will take on Haruna Neko and Andreza Giant Panda. So what kind of tomfoolery do we think Hyper Masao will get up to facing a panda and a cat?
I don't know, but I'm so excited. I hope they get that panda to ride the bike.
That seems hard physically.
It sure does. That's why I want to see him do it.
Another tag match. Neo Bushiki-gun returns to Tokyo Joshi. Saki-sama and Mei San Michelle will take on the unlikely duo of Yuki Kamifuku and the returning Billy Starks.
Friendship with Mahiro Kiryu over Billy Starks is my best friend now, says Yuki Kamifuku.
Who do you think wins? Who do you think gets the pin? And who do you think gets pinned in this one?
I'm going with Mei pinning Billy.
Interesting. I think Saki is going to pin Billy.
Yeah, either way, Billy's taking the fall.
And now we reach the business end of the card, a special singles match. Aja Kong will take on Yuki Arai in a match that could be very good.
Yeah.
I would say, what percentage chance do we think Yuki Arai has to win this match?
3. 3? 3.
Oh, I think it's higher than that. I'm going to say 20.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But still 80-20. Highly in Aja's favor. But I think there's a... I don't know. I think there's a chance. There's something...
I don't think so.
I don't know. We'll see. And then we have our three big title matches. Miyu Watanabe, the International Princess Champion, will defend her title against Rika Tatsumi, who is attempting to become the first ever Grand Slam champion of Tokyo Joshi. A thing that makes me feel like it's more likely that Rika wins.
Yeah, I would have said without a doubt that Miyu was winning until you said that. Shit. Because I don't want Miyu's run to end. She's been having a great title run.
Yeah, it feels too early for it, but that added thing where I'm like, well, they're hyping it up, but maybe they're, I don't know. They're like, she would be the first. And I would be like, well, that would be a good feather in her cap. But I don't want Miyu to lose the title that quickly.
No.
So.
Well, shit.
Very up in the air. Who knows? Maybe Miyu still wins. I don't. Maybe Tokyo Joshi doesn't want any Grand Slam champions.
Maybe.
We don't know. As we've learned from these big shows, they're capable of anything.
Yep.
Even the things you would not predict. In the semi-main of the show, the tag team champions, the Wasteland War Party, Max the Impaler, and Heidi Howitzer, will take on the team of 1-2-1 million, Miyu Yamashita and Maki Ito. Kelly, who emerges victorious here?
I think the champions retain. It's some big scalps for him, and we know that Miyu's going to be gone for a while.
This feels like a win that Miyu and Maki don't need.
Exactly.
And I think that there's probably another team who could beat the Wasteland War Party who would get more out of it.
Palm Harajuku and Friend.
But there is something to Tokyo Joshi often does these title changes where you're like, well, this person doesn't need to win. See, case in point, Miyu.
Yeah.
Where they just win the title. They are both on the... Both of these teams are on the LA show. They announced the full card of that LA show, which we'll talk about next episode. But they are both on the card, and they are both in tag matches. Meaning that if either of these team wins, there could be a tag title match in the United States. So I think I'll go with you and say Wasteland War Party retains. And then the main event, the Princess of Princess title match. Yuka Sakazaki, the champion, defends against her longtime friend and partner, Mizuki. Kelly, is this finally the moment when Mizuki does the deal?
I don't know.
My God, Kelly, you're like sounding so beat down.
I don't know. Because it's like, I feel like, yeah, I would like to see Mizuki win. But at the same time, I'm really loving this current Yuka run, and I kind of don't want it to end yet. So it's like, I don't want her to beat Mizuki, but I do want her to beat Mizuki, so I don't fucking know. I'm just going chalk and saying that Yuka wins.
I have to go with Mizuki. This has to be it.
You'd think.
Like... We say this every time now, though. We're like, this has to be the one. This has,
yeah.
But like, why wouldn't you? At this point,
I don't know.
How many more times could she challenge, realistically? I don't know. I just feel like Mizuki has to win it.
Yeah.
And
ideally, she would win.
Ideally, she would.
But
win.
I don't trust them.
You know what? I don't care. I'm going to say Mizuki's going to win. And if I'm wrong again, then I'm wrong again.
Yeah.
It's a feeling with Tokyo Joshi that I'm used to. But Mizuki should win. Let her win one of these freaking things. So that is Grand Princess 23. What else is going on in Joshi in Sendai Girls on March 11th? Miyuki Takase and Mika Iwata will take on Sayori Ono and Maya Yukihi to determine the number one contenders for the tag titles in Ice Ribbon. Hikaru Shida and Ibuki Hoshi will defend their tag titles against Makoto and Hamako Hoshi. And in Wave, they have a Korakuen Hall show, a tag title defense. Galaxy Punch, Saki, and Akari Shimizu will defend against Itsuki Aoki and Ukuto Hidaka. and Hikaru Shida will defend her Regina DeWave title against Iger in the main event there. Kelly, what is coming up in the world of Choco Pro?
Choco Pro is coming up on Choco Pro 300. It's going to be a special two-day celebration. Day one is on March 11th, where the All-Asia tag titles will be on the line. Chris Brooks and Masahiro Takanashi defend against Sayaka and Chie Kojikawa. And then day two, which is the next day on the 12th, Super Asia titles on the line as Bale Anaki defends against Hagane Shino. I assume there will be other matches on the cards, but they have not announced those yet. But holy shit, there's been 300 Choco Pros.
That is crazy because it's been 3 years. Yeah. So they do, what, 100?
A year, pretty much.
100 shows a year.
Yeah. I mean, and like during Golden Week, they just run every day.
Yeah. Yeah, but 300 shows in 3 years is a lot of shows.
A lot. So congratulations on that. That's like, that's a big accomplishment, I think.
But that is everything coming up in the next 2 weeks of Joshi. Kelly, what else do you have to say for yourself?
Ah, shit. What do I want to use my time for? Taylor, what's your favorite kind of pie?
Is this going to be a joke?
No, it's not. I had a three berry pie earlier today and it was incredibly good and I've been thinking about it a lot. So I think, because I really think a berry pie is my favorite overall, like a blueberry or a three berry. I think they're consistently very good, more so than an apple or a cherry, which when they're good, they're real good. But you can get some outliers that aren't very good in there. So like, what's your go-to pie? What's your favorite pie?
Well, I was going to say apple just because that's the standard. And I do like cherry pie. I wouldn't have even thought of like blueberry pie.
Oh, it's so good.
To me, like blueberry pie is like for nursery rhymes where it's like, oh, the old woman in the house was eating a blueberry pie.
Yeah. That old woman was onto something.
And besides that, I can't really think of any other like pecan pie, pumpkin pie.
When you asked if I was joking, did you think I was going to turn into The Rock and be like, my favorite pie is vagina?
Or I thought you were just going to be like, something, you were going to say something. I was going to say like apple and you were going to be like, oh, and make some joke. So yeah, maybe I did think you were going to turn into The Rock.
I am not young Dwayne.
And prank me in some fashion. With my favorite pie. But anyway.
I will find a way to prank you with your favorite pie at some point.
Oh, God.
I'm going to send a bunch of pies to your house.
What a great prank.
Yep. Pies keep showing up, and you're like, I didn't order these. And they're like, I don't know, someone did, pal. And then next thing you know, you've got 700 pies in your house, and you can't find any more room for them.
Anyway, that is all for us here on Jumping Bomb Audio. We will be back with you again in 2 weeks' time. So for Kelly...
Have you ever seen Pie Hell?
No.
You ever seen Pie Hell? Do you know what Pie Hell is?
Nope.
Okay, so Pie Hell was this... it was like on this Japanese show. And like I don't know if it was like one of their talk shows or something, or like some kind of prank show. It was the host and this other guy made a bet on what team would win in a baseball game. And the guy that lost had to go through Pie Hell, which was they set up his house full of like cameras and stuff. And he had to live his life as he would normally. But there would be people there in fully black costumes that you were not supposed to see, who would just keep hitting him with pies, and he was not allowed to react at all. And like the guy who won the bet was over in loudspeaker in the house telling him to like do stuff like, hey, it's time to go read the paper. he'd pick up the newspaper and the pie guys would just slam the pie into the newspaper and he would be forced to try and keep reading the paper covered in pie cream and the newspaper covered in pie cream. One of the funniest bits is he's making toast and one of the pie guys just slams the pie on top of the toaster. It was on Daily Motion for the longest time. I don't know if it's there anymore, but if you can find it, Pie Hell is incredible and one of the funniest things I've ever seen. There we go. That's my media recommendation of the week.
All right. Well, with that, we will say goodbye. Kelly?
Oh, bye.
Hello there, everybody. It's me, Gary Kidney, the co-host of You've Got to Be Kidding Me on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
And I am Liam Jones, my full name, and I am also a part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network as a co-host for You've Got to Be Kidding Me.
We are a TNA history podcast that covers TNA one month at a time. We cover all the drama, all the matches, all the Vince Russo nonsense you could ever want in your life.
Have you heard of TNA? I bet you have, but would it be funnier if two people made jokes over it the whole time? Probably.
So if that sounds like fun to you, check it out on this very Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network, and Liam will do bits and whatnot.